Good morning, everyone. As you're able to, please stand for our first hymn, number 384, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Thank you for continuing to stand as we affirm our faith with the Apostles' Creed, number 881, if you're following along in the United Methodist Hymnal. Let us recite this ancient creed of the faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Never show.
Thank you. You may be seated. This time we'd like to bring our prayer requests as well as our praises before the body and before the Lord. If you will, keep Lynette and Liliana in your prayers. Lynette is traveling today to Ohio to get Liliana, and then they will come back tomorrow. So they're supposed to have bad weather there tomorrow, so pray that they are able to get out before all that and that everybody's safe, if you would. Other than that, I have no requests. Does anyone have any requests or praises they'd like to share? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Marty's mother is in the hospital, for those of you who didn't hear. So we will keep her in our prayers. I do actually have a praise. It's really great to see Marianne here with us today. So that is definitely a praise. Praise God for that. Does anyone else have any requests or praises they would like to share with us? All right, well, if not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Lord, we thank you for this time that we can fellowship together, that we can worship you together. We pray, Lord, that your Spirit would dwell amongst us as we attempt with your help to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, today we would like to ask that you be with Marty's mother as she's in the hospital. We pray that you would be with her doctors and her nurses and her treatment team, that you would provide comfort, strength, and healing, that you would provide wisdom and discernment. And Lord, that in the midst of this worrisome time, that you would draw them closer together as a family, and that you would draw them nearer to you, and to trust in you, and in your saving power, and in your healing power. Lord, we also pray for Lynette as she travels to Ohio today. May you keep her safe. And as she and Liliana head back tomorrow, may you keep them both safe. And for all of those who will be affected by this weather that's coming, we pray that you would keep everyone safe, that they would be warm, and that they would be comfortable. Help us, Lord, as we go forth in our worship service, to be reminded that worship is about you and not about us. Help us to hear your voice. Help us to respond in a positive way. And in all things, Lord, help us to follow Christ and to be Christ in this world. We pray all these things and so many more in the beautiful and glorious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we pray together the words he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, if we could have our children come down, we will have our children's time. Good morning, fellas. How y'all doing this morning? So, y'all may know, you may not know, but my favorite movie series of all time is Star Wars, except for The Last Jedi, but we won't go into that. But see, I grew up with Star Wars before the first three. So when the first three movies came out, I didn't really like the first one. And the main reason is because there's a character, if y'all have seen it, you know, named Jar Jar Binks. And Jar Jar is annoying. Jar Jar gets into everything. He botches everything up. He says things wrong. He just makes a mess out of everything. And even to this day, I don't care for Jar Jar, but he's grown on me because I realized something. Jesus had a disciple who was kind of like Jar Jar. His name was Peter. Anytime Peter could say something, he did say something, even if he shouldn't. Peter was always ready to do things without thinking about them. He was always messing things up. He thought he was doing good. He kept doing bad things. But Jesus kept working with him. And Peter became the leader of all of Jesus' disciples. Just like in the first Star Wars movie, Jar Jar kind of became the hero of the Battle of Naboo. Sometimes we encounter people that are annoying, you know? I'm sure we can all think of somebody we know that we just don't like. We don't like to be around them. They bother us. Maybe we feel that people feel that way about us. But I always take comfort in the fact that Jesus still loves us, even when we're annoying. And when he transforms us, he turns us into somebody that is so much better than we thought we could be. So I encourage you to follow Jesus. And hey, you know what? If you're Jar Jar, that's okay. The world needs some Jar Jars in this world. Amen. Y'all ready to say a prayer? I think so. Yeah. Let's say a prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that you care for us, whether we are loved by everyone or whether not very many people like us. Lord, we pray that you would bless all these children that are here, all those who are represented by those people who are here, and all children everywhere. May you help us to have childlike faith. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, y'all can go to Children's Church if you'd like. If we could have our ushers come forward at this time, we will worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. As we prepare to give back of those blessings, we ask that you would remind us, as always, that we do not give out of guilt or fear, pride or greed, or any negative reason. Rather, Lord, we give out of love and devotion for you and love for neighbor. May you bless the givers. May you bless the receivers. May all come to know Christ, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Thank you for remaining standing as we sing our next hymn, My Faith Looks Up to Thee, number 452, if you're following along in the hymnal. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, in honor of Veterans Day, we will have a musical selection from the choir, America the Beautiful.
Beautiful for heroes' birth.
As you are able, please stand for the reading of Scripture. Our Scripture today is found in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 7, verses 15 through 23. Jesus teaches, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorns or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many deeds of power in your name?' Then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Go away from me, you evildoers.'" This is the word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God. You may be seated. Well, that's a sour-looking guy, isn't it? We finally got to the most infamous of Jesus' disciples, Judas Iscariot. Judas is the betrayer. Judas is synonymous with being a traitor. Not just a traitor, but a most heinous traitor, the worst kind of traitor. A traitor who was welcomed as a brother, as family. Judas is synonymous with evil. Judas is synonymous with everything that is wrong with humanity. Some people, I think, hate Judas more than they hate the devil. You never see a good picture of Judas. He always looks like he's up to something. And Scripture kind of indicates that he always was kind of up to something. He stole from the money bag. He didn't like it whenever people did nice things for Jesus. Judas is the guy that reminds us what Jesus teaches in Matthew 7. Not everybody that follows Jesus follows Jesus. In recent years, there's been kind of a trend, I guess you would say, towards sort of apologizing for Judas a little bit, trying to make him more sympathetic. There's a gospel called the Gospel of Judas, and it was written probably around the 200s or so. And in this gospel, it tries to argue that Judas was just doing the will of God and that we should see him as favorable as any of the other disciples, because if it weren't for Judas, Jesus wouldn't have been crucified. And therefore, there wouldn't have been resurrection and we wouldn't have forgiveness of sins. So Judas is a good guy, this line of argument goes. But what does Judas teach us? What is the point of having Judas here? Oftentimes we see Judas and we see him as a negative example. And so Keith, I think, has a picture of that I sent him, if he was able to get it. This comes from, I'm not exactly sure where, I got it off of Facebook, but it comes from a sermon that someone else did, and they make this point. They say, Judas had the best pastor, the best leader, the best teacher, the wisest and best friend, and he failed. The problem isn't the leadership or the church you go to. If your attitude doesn't change, or your character transformed, you will always be the same. There's truth to that. Absolutely, there's truth to that. It doesn't matter how great your leader, your pastor, your choir, your church, whatever is, if you don't follow Jesus yourself, who cares, right? It's not their fault. It's not Jesus' fault that Judas failed. And so I think it's fair for us to learn this from Judas, but I like to see Judas's lesson in a little bit different light. Let's think about what happened with Judas. A lot of scholars think that Judas may have been a member of the Zealots, which we talked about the Zealots last week with Simon the Zealot. And he may have been part of a specific group called the Sicarii, who were dagger-wielding assassins. They're the people that I told you about would go into crowds and just kill somebody indiscriminately and sort of sow chaos and fear. And so the thinking goes that what Judas was actually trying to do was he decided that Jesus was the Messiah that was going to free them from Rome. And he thought, you know, Jesus is getting kind of depressed here. He's kind of down in his cups, you know. He's talking about all this crucifixion and, you know, all this death stuff. And he needs a shot in the leg. So I'm going to betray him so that he will, you know, he'll get his gumption back and we'll kickstart this revolution. And so this line of thinking says that Judas went and he pretended to betray Jesus, and it didn't quite work out. Jesus didn't jumpstart the revolution like Judas thought he was going to. So what happens to Judas? Judas goes, he sells Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave, not a lot of money, really and truly. And when Jesus doesn't do anything except give up, Judas starts to realize something. He says, my God, what have I done? And he tries to take the money and he tries to give it back. And he says, listen, no, I'm sorry. I didn't want this. Take this money back. And the religious leaders say, I'm sorry, sir, but that's blood money. We can't take blood money back. We can pay blood money out, but we can't take it back because that's bad, right? And Judas doesn't know what to do. He's in despair. He's upset. He's crying to the depths of his soul. What have I done? And in his desperation, he throws the money back at them and he runs off. And the religious leaders, they say, well, we can't take this money and put it in, you know, the temple or anything like that, but, you know, hate to let 30 pieces of silver go to waste. So they bought a field and they turned it into a potter's field, which was a place where the poor could be buried because they couldn't afford burial plots and things like that. And I always think of the African burial ground over here in Oak Ridge when I think of the potter's field. If you've ever been there, it's humbling and it's depressing at the same time because you realize that there are human beings buried here, but nobody knows who they were. Nobody knows how many are there. But somebody decided to at least bury them, right? And I think about Judas and the potter's field and this African burial ground, and I think of the desperation that Judas felt. What does Judas do? He goes out and he thinks, what can I do? What can I do? I've betrayed my teacher. I betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. They won't take it back, and he's not here to forgive me. And he starts to think about the things he's learned growing up, he thinks to himself, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. He says, there's no blood to shed out here. I'm in the wilderness. And he says, if a man takes the life of another man, then by man's hands his life will be taken. That's in the law of Moses. What do I do? And he starts to think about the teachings of Jesus. And he says, Jesus said that not everybody who follows him really follows him. And Jesus taught all of these things about like blasphemy of the Holy Spirit and all of these things, and I don't know what to do. And Judas thinks to himself, I have to make amends, and I don't know how to make amends. And we know from Scripture that the devil had entered Judas prior to this. And so Judas is hearing all these voices and all these thoughts and all these teachings. And he takes a rope and he throws it over a tree and he hangs himself. And then it breaks and he falls and the dogs devour him. And most people say, good, he died a traitor's death. It's better than he deserved. Judas missed something that is so key to his death. Suicide is not a sin in Jewish thought. In certain situations, suicide is the only way to make amends or to stop something worse from happening. So Judas did what he thought he had to do, but he missed something. Jesus knew Judas was going to betray him, and he called him anyway. Jesus knew Judas was going to betray him, and he washed his feet. Judas missed that the covenant of Jesus Christ is a covenant of grace and mercy. See, Judas grew up in a society that said they loved God, but they actually were terrified of God. They were afraid that if they weren't perfect, God would kick them out of the land again, because God only loves perfect things. And Judas had to be perfect, and he didn't know how to be perfect anymore. He knew he had messed up, and the only thing he knew to do was to die. But I like to think about something else. What if Judas, in his despair, had sought out the disciples again? We know that they're locked in an upper room. They probably wouldn't have let him in because, well, he betrayed Jesus, for one thing, but also, they were afraid the Romans were coming after them, and if Judas was an agent of Rome for Jesus, he might still be one, right? But let's suppose Judas came, he knocked on the door, they said, go away, and he said, I don't know where to go, I have nowhere to go. And so he sat down outside the room, and he wept. And he despaired. And as he sat there with his head down, thinking about what to do next, a bright light appeared. And he looked up, and here's Jesus. And he says, hi, Judas. Judas doesn't know what to say, right? I mean, he's probably thinking at this point in our analogy, in our story, that he's hallucinating. And Jesus says, hey, look, here's where the nails pierced me. And over here is where they stuck me with the spear. And you can see down in my feet where they pierced me too. And I did all of that for you, Judas. How would that have changed Judas's story? We know how it changed Peter's story. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. He was one of the closest people to Jesus, and he denied him. And you know what? Peter probably remembered what Jesus taught here too in Scripture. If you deny me before man, I'll deny you before my Father. Peter's in the same boat. But what happens to Peter? He denied Jesus 3 times. Jesus reconciled with Peter 3 times. Because Peter knew he'd messed up, but Peter didn't know what to do. Judas in his despair did the only thing he knew how to do. Peter said, I don't know what to do. But Jesus does, and if I could just talk to him one more time, maybe he could tell me. Brothers and sisters, this world is filled with hatred. It's filled with strife and war and vitriol. People argue about the silliest things. People get mad about the silliest things. People kill each other for the silliest things. Not just literally, but figuratively. Character assassinations and all these things that people do. And it even infects the church. The church where there should be forgiveness and grace. We struggle to give forgiveness and grace. Because we, like Judas, have forgotten. That the law kills, but the blood of Christ brings grace and mercy. Yes, there's sin. Absolutely, there's sin. If there was no sin, there was no need for crucifixion. But I believe that Jesus Christ frees people from their sins, from all of their sins, from every single solitary sin that they commit if they trust Him and they follow Him and they repent and they believe. And if Judas had repented and believed, I believe that Judas would not be the betrayer. He would have been the redeemed one. I believe that Judas would have had the greatest testimony of anybody that has ever lived. So what does Judas teach us? Sure, he teaches us personal responsibility. Sure, he teaches us that it's not on everybody else to make things work, it's on us. Sure, he teaches us that we have a part to play in the work of redemption. But what Judas teaches us more is this: Jesus Christ's grace is greater than anything we have ever done or ever will do. And it's greater than anything anyone else has ever done or ever will do. The only unforgivable sin in Scripture is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And in Bible study, we just talked about what that meant. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is denying the Spirit's witness about Jesus Christ. Judas repented in the only way he knew how to repent. Does that mean he's in heaven? I don't know. Does that mean he's burning in everlasting fire? I don't know. I do know this. The righteous judge will judge righteously. And I know that the day that I think that I'm not Judas Iscariot at some point in my life and in my relationship with Jesus Christ is the day that I am Judas Iscariot. The day that we decide we are better than Judas is the day that we should fall on our knees and repent and thank God for His wonderful gift of grace and mercy and hope. People out there, people in here, are looking for hope and love, and they find it everywhere except for where it is. The song that I like says, "We strive to live for peace, but we nailed him to a tree." Judas Iscariot teaches us to be humble in the face of an awesome God who, when someone asked him, "How much do you love me?" he stretched out his arms and died and said, "Even more than this do I love you." It's time to remind the world that God loves them. Everybody knows they sin. Everybody knows it, whether they admit it or not. Not everybody knows that God is greater than all of our sins. I hope when we get to heaven that Judas will be there with Peter to greet us. I do. And the reason I hope that is because I would like to believe that God is more merciful and more gracious than I am. And that He's more merciful and more gracious than Judas Iscariot. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for the witness of Judas. Help us, Lord, to see where we are Judas in our lives and to repent, knowing full well that at the foot of the cross, there is hope, there is forgiveness, there is love, and there is redemption. May we follow Christ all our days. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. As you're able to, please stand for our final hymn, God of the Ages, number 698, if you're following along in the hymnal.
God of the Ages, come.
now receive the benediction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Follow the God who forgives the traitor, even when that traitor is you and I. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you're dismissed. Go in peace.